8th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 6. Seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Let us pray. Father, again, we certainly want to thank you for the word of God, and thank you for how good you are and how kind you are to us. And Lord, we certainly do pray concerning these prayer requests. Lord, you've given us the right to come to the throne of grace because of the shed blood of thy Son. Not anything, Lord, that we're worthy of. Not because, Father, we could boldly come to you simply because of us, but because of the shed blood, the finished work of thy wonderful Son. And we bring these petitions to you, and also tonight, certainly for the Master's Clubs, we pray. And Lord, even as I preach, I certainly need your help. And Lord, I ask you to bless this time together around God's word, that you'd use it to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read verse 1 through 5 just to kind of give us a little bit of catch up. We did that a week ago or 2 weeks ago. When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The Bible talks here about the golden censer from which the prayers of the saints were offered. Now it's filled with fire and it's cast unto the earth. Its judgment, the trumpet's judgments, are beginning. You remember, I think we discussed this last week. You'll notice in the trumpets, a lot of times it's the third that is used, like a third of the trees, a third of the sea, and things like that. We mentioned the fact that the number three is a divine number. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These trumpets' judgments come from him. We discussed the fact that the seals came somewhat because of man's own wickedness, and certainly he allowed them. But these here are coming directly from God Almighty. He's directing them. He's coming from heaven. He's casting them down from heaven on the earth. Now, what I want to do is just take a few moments and go to about four portions of Scripture. There'll be short portions, but we want to look at this matter of fire and judgment. Over in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please, of the book of Hebrews. Verse number 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If you notice in verse number 27, he talks about those who had received the truth, refused the truth, And this is what happens here in the time of tribulation. These are a people who's absolutely turned against God and refused the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been refused. The marvelous grace and goodness of God has been offered unto this earth, and it has rejected it. And now we find in the book of Tribulation, God is going to judge, and it's going to be a fiery judgment. You notice in verse number 27, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignations which devour the adversaries. A person who refuses the Lord Jesus Christ has nothing else to look forward to. The only thing they have to look forward to is judgment, and that is a fiery judgment. And multitudes and multitudes of people are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ today. Multitudes are. Many who say that they're religious in some respects, but folks, it's not being religious. You know that. It's knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. And a person who rejects the Son of God as their Savior has nothing else to look to but fiery indignation, judgment of God. So we look over to the book of Luke for just a few moments. The book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Verse number 49 of the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. And he says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. I think if we have an understanding of the Word of God, of the truth of the Word of God, we have no problem understanding why there is so much division in relationships today. Christ divides. Those who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and truly have trusted Him as personal Savior, there's going to be division between those and those who do not. That's the way it is. It's just there, and there's nothing to be done about it. It divides. That's why no matter whether it's in government or whether it's in churches or whether it's in home, all of these things, Christ and the truth of the Word of God will divide mankind. That's why churches many times are divided, because there's folk in those churches who truly are not, do not believe. And there's division in those churches. They do not believe, and there's division between those and those who do believe. That's why in government there's quite a lot of division, because of their stand against God. And those who wish to stand for the Lord and do stand for the Lord, there's going to be division amongst those kind of people. That's why in your homes, there's going to be division in your homes, because of some will receive Christ and believe on Christ and others won't, and that causes a division there. It's just the way it is. And again, I say to you, God is telling us that those who refuse Him has nothing else to look forward to but a fiery indignation, a fiery judgment one of these days. And then Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 41 of the 13th chapter. And the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And once again, of course, we know He's talking about here the eternal fires of hell to those who absolutely have refused the Son of God as personal Savior. Now, one of the reasons I simply am just kind of going back and looking at some of this, and we could go to many more verses of Scripture, is simply because here you see not just the total judgment, but you see the beginning judgment of God, and you notice here that God sends fire cast out of the altar there before the throne, the fire on the altar, and He casts it to the earth. It's a fiery judgment. The things that's going to happen, not only in the seals, but they, I think, increase as you get into the trumpets and as you get into the vial judgment. These things increase. And it's God's judgment upon this earth, and it's going to be a fiery judgment. So we find here that a great storm, as you look in the first portion of that scripture that we read, we studied a couple weeks ago, a great storm envelops the earth. There's thunder, there's lightnings, there's voices, there's a great earthquake. It don't say much about the earthquake, don't tell us too much about the thunder and the lightnings, but it's going to be a thing that envelops the whole earth, I believe. And it's because that God is beginning to judge the earth for her sin, for her rejection of the Son of God, you see. The silence, as you know, as we studied that week, silent has been broken. The prayers of God's people have been offered up. And then God answers. If you'll notice, right after those prayers and the incense is offered up together before the throne of God, immediately you find the angel stepping forth and casting this fire down upon the earth. In other words, God is answering those prayers. And again, I want to encourage you. I think we did last week. Do not grow weary of praying. Do not grow weary of even sometimes waiting on God to answer those prayers. God hears those prayers. He is not deaf. And he knows what you are praying. And he's going to answer those prayers. And last week or week before last, I think we studied and went back and showed you that these prayers are basically the prayers here of the tribulation saints. The souls of those that was underneath the altar there, Evan asking and crying out to God to for him to do something and to judge. And he's answering those prayers, as certainly God will do. And then we find in verse number 6 that the angel prepared to sound their trumpet. They are ready to start the purging and the purifying of the earth. And in verse number 6, we found, of course, that these angels stepped forth, the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Folks, what's going to happen in this tribulation period? There's never been anything quite like it happened before. Nothing has ever happened like it before. The only thing we can even associate with is some of the plagues back in the days of Egypt. But we look even further back in that, and we see this flood that was on the earth that covered the whole earth. Terrible disaster that just absolutely destroyed all but 8 people upon the earth. But now, there's going to be a horrible judgment take place. God is done with the day of mercy and grace to people who do not want it. And he is going to judge the earth. And he's going to send that judgment upon the earth. And then, of course, in verse number 7, said the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there was cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. I don't know about you, and we studied this, and that's where we left off, as I remember, verse number 7, we left off, but I don't know about you, but reading this astounds me and gets to me, let alone thinking about being there and being a part of that. It's amazing to me that some people can read this and even hear preaching on it and not be affected whatsoever. I mean, really, that's true. Not even affected by it. But I don't know how people could not be affected with God going to pronounce judgment upon this earth in such fiery way and such terrible judgment upon this earth. I don't. As I read that, that gets to me. It doesn't scare me because I know where I'm going to be. And it shouldn't scare you if you're a child of God. Book of Revelation ought not scare you. But it ought to make you think. It ought to make all of us think and be concerned about that getting folks saved and being concerned about those kind of things. That ought to do something for us, I believe. And then, of course, in verse number 8 and 9, he said, and the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, if you notice here, he uses, and as we said in the Bible, I want you to remember something, the book of Revelation, we want to take it literal, okay, except where God puts some type of symbolic meaning to it. And if you'll notice in verse number 8, he says, as it were a great mountain. He didn't say it was a great mountain. He says, as it were a great mountain. God will let us know when we ought to take something symbolically. What he's doing is giving us something to demonstrate or to tell us, give us some kind of idea of what it looked like. And John here said it was like a great mountain. And he didn't say it was a mountain. He said, as it were a great mountain. And my mind goes to maybe some of the mountains that I've been through, like down in Tennessee and some of those. And you drive down through there and you see these great big mountains. And you think about one of those mountains as it would come hurling through space into the heavens and down through into the sea. It's just amazing, mind-boggling to me. But I think that's what God wanted us to do. He wanted us to get a hold of something like that and realize that's going to happen. And I think probably, more than likely, I'm going to say this, because it says into the sea, I think it's going to probably, more likely, possibly represent the Mediterranean Sea, I think probably. But regardless, what I'm saying is, it's going to do a terrible amount of damage. I don't know whether you realize the Mediterranean Sea also is in close to the center of the earth, because Israel is in the center of the earth. And the Mediterranean Sea runs right alongside Israel. You see, that's what the Arabs have been wanting to do for a long time. They've been wanting to drive the Israelites right into the Mediterranean Sea. They want to get rid of them, you see. But the Mediterranean Sea is a very, very large body of water. In fact, you include it with the Black Sea, which the Mediterranean Sea has an inland outlet overflow in and back in to the Atlantic Ocean, the western tip of it. You go over to up here on the map, you go up here, here sits the Black Sea, and there's also an inflow and outflow into the Black Sea. So we're talking about the effect of a large area. In fact, they say the Mediterranean Sea, probably including the Black Sea, is close to 1 million square miles. That's a lot of water. And that's a big area. And I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to tie it down to just the Mediterranean Sea. I'm saying possibly, because when it says that, he says the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And he says, and the third part of the sea became blood. And anyway, I just think about it, a mighty mass of probably stone or whatever it might be here hurtling down through into the sea. You can kind of get a mind's picture of that. That's what God wanted you to do. He said, just imagine it as a great mountain hurtling into the sea. Now, that's amazing to me. You imagine that. That's going to be something. And if it does come from out of outer space, out here in the heavens, you know, as it comes through the atmosphere, there's no doubt about it, it's going to be burning as things begin to burn and gases begin to burn as it comes through the atmosphere. You know what I believe? I believe people will be hearing about this. I believe they'll be hearing about it. It'll be on the news. I believe they'll be looking. They say there's something massive. It's broke loose, and it's coming, and it may be on the news for days and weeks. I don't know, but you know they've got their cameras trained to the skies, and they're looking up, and astronomers are constantly looking at things. And I can almost hear this being passed around on the earth, and saying this massive thing is coming at us, and it could be here very soon. I think the TV cameras possibly will be tuned that direction when it comes. And wondering where it's going to hit. A mass as great as a mountain heading toward the earth. Now that may sound a little funny to some folk, but I want to tell you something. You talk about the fear will be upon these people. As this thing hurtles through space and comes toward the earth, and it's going to land there in the sea there. And you can just almost hear people and wondering about it and talking about it and fearful of where it's going to hit and what damage it's going to do. And of course, also let me go back and take a little a break here and go over to Revelation 11th chapter and look there, because this also could be in response to the plagues of the two witnesses. If you go to the 11th chapter, verse number 3. And we'll get to them, of course, later on. But you notice here, and I want you to notice, these are two witnesses of God that God sent here on this earth. And during that time, they have the ability to send great plagues upon the earth. And he says in verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." And listen, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." And he says, "And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." This may be maybe in response to them asking God to do this and this great plague. Remember, listen to what it said during their witnessing, during their prophesying. There'd be no rain. There's going to be, that'll be very important as we see get into the next trumpet. But there'll be no rain. And I'm saying to you, it's going to be horrible times upon this earth. And all at once, this mass starts coming down. Now, if you notice, this is all in regards to chapter 11, verse 7. It's all in regards to the rejection of God. They don't care about God. They don't want anything to do with God. And in fact, even these great plagues that come, they still don't want anything to do with God. Look at verse number 7 in chapter 11. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up. Excuse me, I'm in chapter 8. I should be in chapter 11. Verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. He identifies that. It's called Sodom and Egypt, but it's where our Lord was crucified. It's Jerusalem. And then in verse number 9, and they of the people, kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Listen to what it says. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. See, people are not repenting. They're rejoicing that these two witnesses of God has been killed. Now, rejoicing is only going to last 3 days because God's going to raise them up and they're going to send right up into heaven. But it's going to be like the devil's Christmas. I mean, they're sending gifts to each other saying, praise God, the old beast took care of them and killed them. And they start sending gifts to each other, glad that they're gone, you see. There's no repentance there. They're glad these men have been killed. So, you see, these two witnesses have the ability to send all kinds of plagues upon this earth. So, if you look now back in chapter 8, in verse number 9, he says, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, I don't know for sure of all of it, but I'm... I come sing that next verse, please. And hating not the sea and what it's going to do in the killing the lives of those that are in the sea, not only of the fishes and all of that, but anything that's on those ships. I want to read to you. I got some information out of the encyclopedia. So when you read out of the encyclopedia, you got to remember there's a lot of good facts in the encyclopedia. But when it comes to anything that they're kind of speculating on, it's usually humanistic. Okay, so we know that. But there's a lot of great facts in the encyclopedia. It says here a meteorite. I'm just thinking about a meteorite. Okay, a meteorite weighing about 2 2/10 pounds. Penetrating to an altitude of roughly 25 miles can produce sounds on the ground resembling thunder or sonic booms. That's just a little 2-pound meteorite. Can you imagine what a great mass that looks like a mountain is going to do? Then listen also to this. It says, it says there's a large, a bowl-shaped thing out in Arizona. Said it's produced by a large meteorite in the plain of the Canyon of Diablo region, and it's some miles there west of Winslow, Arizona, and that crater is 4,000 feet across. That's a mile is 5,280 feet, and so it's 4,000 feet across. It said it is 600 feet deep. And 200 feet rim that it produced, and they think it was a meteorite that hit the earth, a large meteorite or something that hit the earth at one time and produced that crater. Now, also it says meteorites enter the earth, and listen to this, this is amazing to me. Meteorites enter the earth's atmosphere at a velocity of at least 7 miles, and it said it could be up to 40, but 7 miles to 40 miles per second. 40 mile. 7 mile, whichever it was. It's somewhere in between there, they think. I can't imagine something moving that fast that it went 7 miles. It's moving that fast. Meteorites are ascending toward the earth that fast. And he says, interaction with the atmosphere heats them to high temperatures, causing them to become incandescent, vaporize, and heat the surrounding air. This process produces a streak of light, which is referred to as a meteor. As meteorites penetrate into the dense lower atmosphere, they usually fragment and disintegrate. Although 7,000 enter the atmosphere each year, only a few hundred actually reach the ground. Occasionally, the remnant of a very large meteoroid weighing several ton or more may collide with the surface, exploding upon impact to create a so-called meteorite crater. Now, I want to read to you something else. You ever heard of an asteroid? Asteroid, okay? Here's what it says. It says, also called minor planets, any of a host of small rocky astronomical objects found primarily between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. Approximately 2,000 asteroids have so far been discovered in the solar system, some of which appear to be traveling in pairs. Asteroids are smaller than any of the 9 major planets of the solar system. There are a very few large asteroids. About 30 have a diameter of 124 miles. Some smaller ones are down to 62 miles in diameter, these asteroids. And he says, it is estimated that millions of asteroids or boulder size exist in the solar system. These smaller objects are probably formed when larger asteroids collide, and few of them strike the Earth's surface in the form of meteorites. Now listen to what it says. Some astronomers would like to mount a full-scale search for such asteroids, partly out of fear that they may collide with the Earth. Knowing that their existence and calculating their orbit would afford a possibility of altering their motion away from the Earth. Collisions with larger asteroids are rare, but smaller ones are more numerous. It is estimated that 3 asteroids, somewhere over a long period of time, that the size of 6/10 of a mile, will probably collide with the Earth. Now, I realize this is worldly people writing this, but that's what they're saying. Now, listen to what he says. And he said, collisions with larger asteroids are rare, but smaller ones are more numerous. Then it says, if an asteroid of this size were to collide with the Earth, it would produce an explosion with as much force as several hydrogen bombs. The crater created by its impact would be about 8 miles across. Listen to this. A short-term disturbance in the world's climate could result, and a collision in the ocean could be catastrophic. And I don't know whether it's asteroids, I don't know whether it's meteorite, I don't know what it is that's coming, but I want to tell you something. There's something that's going to come, and it's going to look like a great mountain, and it's going to collide in the sea. Okay? Now, in this, and the reason I just want to take time to do this also, because can you imagine, have you ever picked up a big rock, a large rock, and threw it into a pond of water? You ever done that? I think probably every boy alive has done that sometime or another. A large rock, and boy, you like to see how it splashes in the water. Can you imagine what it would be like if it was likened unto a great mountain falling into the water? I want to read to you something about tidal waves. It said a tidal wave is a very long wave of size caused by earthquakes, caused by, they call them submarine or coastal earthquake, landslides, or volcano eruption. Such a wave may have a length of hundreds of miles. It travels across the ocean at a tremendous speed to the depth of 13,000 feet. For instance, the corresponding wave speed is about 450 miles per hour. The speed of that wave moving underneath the water is around 450 miles per hour. Now, the reason I'm saying that, he says out in the open ocean, you don't see it. It's all underneath, mainly. But when it gets close to land, he said the speed slows down and the height gets great. And they said that's where disaster strikes. Multitudes of people have been killed by that type of a wave caused by an earthquake underneath the sea. Now, what I'm saying is, I wonder this: what's going to happen one of these days? What's going to happen one of these days when this hits the earth or in the sea? Can you imagine? You know why God said a third of the life of that which is in the sea is going to die? You want to know why this third of it is going to turn to blood? The fish and the life in the sea is going to be destroyed. The life on all of those, a third of the ships are going to be destroyed. The lives of all of those sailors are going to be on there. They're going to be destroyed. Blood's going to run. And a third of the sea, can you imagine what we said earlier, even if it's just the Mediterranean Sea, 1 million square miles, and a third of that is going to turn to blood? Amen? Now, folks, that is literal. You don't symbolize that. That's going to happen. And it's going to happen in the tribulation period. I'm simply saying to you and I, we better just get people saved. Amen. Just get them one to Christ. We better do everything we can, because the very things that I'm saying to you today is going to take place on this earth one of these days. Now, in verse number 10, he says, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters." Now, if you know, notice here, hardly before they can recover from this other, there is something that comes from the heaven burning. I don't know, again, what it is. Maybe another big massive asteroid or meteorite, or maybe a comet or something. But whatever it is going to have poison in it. And it's going to break up and spread across one third of the earth. And what it's going to do is going to take a third of the earth, take a third of the waters of the earth. In verse number 11, the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters become wormwood, and many men die of the waters because they were made bitter. You see, it's going to drop on a third part of the fountains of water that we drink from. And it's going to destroy, it's going to make it bitter, it's going to destroy it. You know, I don't know whether it's... Some of you wasn't even born then, but back in 1967, some of you might have remembered that. There was an accident happened with the United States government. A jet plane was carrying nerve gas, and a wind came at just the right time and caused about 5% of that to go in a direction they did not want it to go. I don't know if any of you ever remember that. That happened. And what happened was, 6,400 sheep died just like that because it blew the winds over this herds of sheep. 6,400 of them died just like that. Now, I'm not saying this is nerve gas. I'm just simply saying to you folks, there's a poison. And certainly, if you want to look at a comet, they tell me that a comet has a crust to it with gases, methane being some of that, gases of 62,000 miles of just gases surrounding a comet. And that gases have all kinds of poisons in them. Now, I don't know what it is that God sent. All I know is it's going to come and it's going to spread out across the earth, and it's going to poison the waters, the drinking waters, the fountains. Now remember, we read, and that's why I thought it was important. You remember in chapter 11 we read about the ability to shut the heavens that it rain not? Now folks, they're going to be thirsty anyway. And the Bible tells us that many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. People are going to be thirsty, and they're going to drink of those waters. I think, personally, more than likely, this burning star that's going to come called Wormwood, is probably, again, will they see it before it gets here? Will they be able to, on the news, tell them there's a terrible thing heading toward the earth, and it's spreading stuff across the earth, and the poisons of it? I don't think it'll just show up in 5 seconds and everybody look up and say, there it is. I think there'll be some time when they have to look up and say, hey, this is coming at us. And he says, many men died. Why? Because they drank the water. They're thirsty. Now, well, I'm telling you something. These trumpet judgments are horrible. And it doesn't do anything but get worse. In verse number 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Here we have the fourth trumpet on top of all of this that's already happened. Now it says that the sun, the moon was smitten to the fact of where they would not show for a third part of the day. Now, folks, that's going to change everything. I mean, that's going to change all your growing and all kinds of things. You see, that's going to change everything. Can you imagine what's already happened? And this comes along, and God allows the sun not to shine for a third part of the day, and the moon not to shine for a third part of the night. This is going to happen, you see. I want to take you just back real quickly and show you where Jesus said these will happen in Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21,
verse 25 and verse 26. And he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall then see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." See, Jesus said, this is going to happen. I mean, there's going to be signs in the moon, signs in the sun. And these horrible things are going to happen during this tribulation period. See, because Jesus said it would. And you imagine, again, a third of it being smitten, not showing for a third part of the day and a third part of the night. All these calamities are falling upon the earth in a very short period of time. And then something happens. There's kind of a lull. And God says in verse number 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel fly through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." There was kind of a brief interruption between the next trumpet that's going to blow, and God sends an angel flying through the midst of heaven. And he's crying to the inhabitants of the earth and warning the inhabitants of the earth with a loud voice. Now, can you imagine this going on? God is warning. God in his mercy is just simply saying, "I'm giving you a chance. I'm warning you." And in fact, it was interesting to me because a lot of people, and I don't think so, I think it means angel, but there are some people translate that where it says angel as eagle. And I don't believe that. I believe it says angel. I believe it means angel. But I want to take you back and show you something in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Fourth chapter, the seventh verse. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." You know, I don't know what angel it is God's going to use, but I got to thinking it might be that angel. It might be that beast. He may be the one that God turns loose to go and throughout the air and fly and throughout the air and warning the inhabitants of the earth, crying with a loud voice. Now, what is the message that he sends to them? Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because you haven't seen anything yet. What you've just witnessed in the first four trumpets, it's going to get worse. And what he's saying is, I mean, it's going to be called woes. Not just a trumpet judgment. There's going to be three more woes. In fact, over in verse 12 of chapter 9, it says, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." And I want to tell you, it doesn't do anything but intensify. In chapter 9, it's horrible things that's going to happen here in the first woe. And so what he's doing, he's warning, and he's saying, look out. You know, I thought about that because most people are not going to pay attention because they're going to be so ungodly. They don't care what God says. They'll ask the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. They just don't want to be. They don't want to see the face of the Lamb, of the Son of God. But we find here that he's warning. He's telling them this. And I thought about, you know, sometimes we'll tell our children. We'll say, "Now, I want to tell you something. If you do this again, boy, you're going to get it." You know. Well, I want to tell you, it ain't no fun games with God. He ain't saying if you do this, you're going to get it. He said it's coming, and you just better look at it, look for it. There is no reprieve, none whatsoever. So I say to you again, these trumpets, a horrible time, horrible time, judgments upon this earth, and folks, they're going to happen literally, amen. And then of course the next three one are too. So I say to you, please. Just get serious about the things of God. Just get serious about the things of God. Don't think it's a mockery. Don't think it's a joke, because it isn't. This is going to happen, and you and I don't want any of these folk we know to go through this. Now, you understand something, that if Jesus comes right now, there's going to be folk that you know right here today in this community right here today that will go through the tribulation period. Yes, they will. See, without Christ, they can't go to heaven when the rapture happens. And so they're going to be pushed right into the tribulation period. That's a horrible thing. That's why God wants us to get concerned about the souls of people. Amen. Our neighbors and our friends and our enemies and people we know, acquaintances, no matter what, they need to be saved. And we need to do everything we can to get the gospel to them. That's the only thing that can save them. gospel of Jesus Christ, wonderful message. And so they won't have to face this one of these days. Let's pray, Father. Again, thanking you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you, Father, for who you are and how great you are. Lord, thank you for warning us concerning the things that's going to come upon this earth. Thank you, Lord, that we can be told about it so it might stir our hearts to understand, Lord, what is coming, and that, Lord, we need to do everything we can to see to it the gospel of Jesus Christ just gets preached and told to those who know you not. I just ask you help us in Jesus' name. Amen.